Welcome to a new season and a new episode of the After the Whistle podcast. After yet another long break, we are back. It feels like every two episodes, every three episodes, we are talking about being back from another break. But yeah, ever since our annual December break, we've not really had the time to come together and do this again. But finally, at long last, we are back again. My name is Smiley, and I am joined by Crack, Bangelda, Corey, and our man Fred. Yeah. Charlie, make us start with Fred, because it's been a long break. I don't remember the last time we got to see you, but how have you been?
Charlie, big changes in life, big things happening.
Oh.
But we did inside. Right now, they call me Daddy Fred, so Charlie.
Charlie, I was just waiting for that so that I can just say congratulations to Fred, because Charlie, your man is now a father. We didn't have to go ahead to say it before, but now there we go. If you announce to you guys, Fred is not a father. So now we get two fathers on the panel. So I don't know who will be next, but yeah, two fathers. Congratulations to Fred.
It's even a dream. A dream making it all right.
Charlie, our other father on the panel, Corey, what's good?
Charlie, we are here, man. Football distressed me, but we did inside.
Oh, this guy, every day football distress you. Your team win 5-1, still using football distress you.
They are taking the joy away from my game, man.
We'll get to that. Vangelda.
Yeah, Charlie. Good evening. Hello to our listeners. Sorry to say we lost small, but the way the live the last week crazy. People go high small. But yeah, glad to be back. Happy to be here. Yeah.
And finally, Crack. What's up?
Niggas don't know what they have until it's gone. Your team, they fight for title, but it distress you. Don't worry. Come to death row. You understand what looking away is. You understand what no stress means. Don't worry. Yeah, I don't understand. Continue. So, niggas be greedy. Why so greedy? But yeah, we are back today.
We have a packed episode and we are very excited to talk about a lot of things that have happened over the past week. And the best place to start is probably one of the biggest rivalries in England right now, and that's Man City versus Arsenal. Bear in mind, I said one of the biggest rivalries. I didn't say the biggest rivalry. So yes, Man City, Arsenal. Arsenal thumped Man City 5-1. Which is also their biggest win against Man City in like 20 years or more. First of all, make I just start with Corey. Corey, how are you feeling? Do you think that this is the result that signifies that the title race is far from over?
Well, first of all, it's good to be back. We have been away for a long time, so it is good to be back. And it's good to be back on this note. Even more so. If they had recorded 2 weeks ago, I would not have been part of it. But this win kind of gingered me into coming back on. It's the first time in a long time you can say I've enjoyed a game. This is a satisfying game. Like, yeah, but I think it's considering in the context of the title, you win or it's over. Like these guys are just cruising. 9 points, make that 12. I mean, question mark. If they win their derby, but they're cruising to the league. If you don't win this, Charlie, I honestly don't see Liverpool just casually dropping 12 points between now and the end of the season. So you either win this or it's over. And they won it quite emphatically. Like I didn't think I expected something like a 2-1 or a 1-0. 5-1, I didn't see it coming, especially without certain players. I didn't see it coming, but 5-1 is something special. I mean, after this one, I'll put that in the bank. When I'm feeling down about football, I'm going to watch this game and try and cheer myself up small. But I think it was a good win. It was a good performance. We had the right people scoring. The celebrations, everything hits pepe. Everything the dopamine hits were back to back to back to back. It was a very high game, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So I like the way you mentioned the celebrations were on point, because apart from the celebrations, you can see that there's also a lot of animosity between Man City and Arsenal. And I think it's very good for the league, because it's not like the lovey-dovey Liverpool-Man City Klopp-Pep rivalry that was always, oh, you be the chairman, oh, you be the boss, oh, you be the guy. That kind of thing. I like how there's genuine animosity between the two clubs. So it's something that is good to see, and it's good for the league. But Fred, yeah, I know I fire some shots your way small, but how do you feel with Arsenal now looking like they're breathing down your necks? Are you feeling a bit uncomfortable with the way they seem to be hot on your heels?
If, like I said, we are fighting for top four. We don't spend any money. People will be there, they'll see them go win the league. We are not talking about the way them win today. I didn't expect that, to be honest. After yesterday's win, I actually thought Arsenal were going to drop points today. I genuinely, to be honest, I didn't watch the game because I had some work to do, but I didn't think Arsenal would win. And I even tweeted it. I said, credit where it's due. That was a huge win, because I didn't think they had that in them. But right now, the way we took it to go, like, I think we also have the players that have experienced and gone through this, right? And even though last season, for example, at the end, we ended up tanking. It was also an experience for some of the new players, right? Van Dijk and the rest, they had done it before, but like most of these McAllister, they had not been through that before. So now that they've been through it, and with the way, the style of football we play, with the way we are able to slow down the game and speed it up, Charlie, we all go continue to win. Right now, it'll be pound for pound. I'm more focused on Liverpool than Arsenal, to be very honest with you. And that's why, to be honest, it kind of annoys me with some of the Arsenal tweets and the fact that they are like looking at Liverpool's next 10 fixtures and next 5 fixtures and things. At the moment, I am focused on Liverpool. Every day as we get on the 3 points, we just move. But credit where it's due, Arsenal did well, especially with the loss of Saka and everything. I actually thought this January period would be where they would draw points, because they had lost Saka. They hadn't had the time to buy another player. They are now doing a panic buy mode. But I felt like they had enough fixtures during January to be able to draw points. But it doesn't look like they've done that. So we did. The main thing is, the reason why I'm not overconfident that Liverpool win the league is our last 5 fixtures are not easy, right? I think we have Tottenham, Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal in our last 5 fixtures. So if we catch the last 5 fixtures, we did like some 3 points. Arsenal go fit do that thing, but we get on the 3 points, they move.
Crack, on behalf of those of us who they observe the title race from like 20 kilometers away, what do you make of Arsenal's performance and their chances of winning the title? Do you think this is something that shows that they can actually overtake Liverpool?
First of all, make Fred come off for there. Come off for there. He didn't spend, so what? He didn't spend, say.
Now, he needs guys to say.
He didn't spend, say. I don't like that. He didn't spend, say. If you spent for the past 3 years, right, 2 out of 3, and let's say 1 season, you not spend, and the project of 3 years is happening in the 3rd season, what the fuck has that got to do with anything? I don't get it.
No, I've said it. Have you ever heard? No, you relax. Have you ever heard of a new manager who has come and they've not bought players for him?
Look, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to
Amorim said them buy players for him. Amorim.
Who they buy for? It's not about United now. I don't want that. I don't. Please. I don't want that. Anyways, so what I'm saying is, before we went on the break on my last pod, I actually spoke about Liverpool's spine. Right, look, having world-class players in certain critical positions and surrounding them with good players helps a lot. Let's not do this. Let's not try and downplay this with just bias. That's not it. You already have a very good team before Klopp left. The marriage wasn't working. Klopp definitely maybe had his reasons, personal issues and all. Let's not act like Liverpool has a terrible team, and the coach is doing well because he has come, he hasn't bought his players. That's fantastic. But the team left behind, it's a world-class team. We can go through your back four. It's still there. It has been there for 4 or 5 years. back five, including your keeper. Right? There's been seasons where even your keeper said he still will go injury, come back. It's not like he has been in the post for all 30 this one matches. Do you get it? Like, it happens. But then you always survive. And it's we've seen it several times. The only time it happens is when Van Dijk goes out for a long time. That's when you... But he has been consistent. You've still had Arnold. You've had this guy go and come back. Your left back. He's still there. Let's go to the midfield. Why are you acting like McAllister hasn't been there? He's not a bum. This guy, what's his name? He bought Gravenberch. He's a good player. He bought him, but he didn't do well under Klopp.
From Bayern. The boy from Bayern.
A coach from the Bundesliga has come back. He knows how to work with Dutch players. He's working with him well. I mean, we had a front that was, we thought he could work with Dutch players. He didn't do shit. So, yeah. So, let's not even go there. You have Sabolai. Even if Sabolai goes, you still have, you have Javi Elliott even back. Right? Sabolai goes, you still have Jones. I know you put on like Jones, but he's a makeshift player. He has been there for what? Four or five years. Let's go to the attack. You have Diaz. Diaz has been there for years now. He has the experience. You have Mo Salah, the best player in the league.
He didn't go there. You make it go. Continue.
Mo Salah, the best player in the league. Me, Jota is the most underrated striker. I've said it.
Bro?
Jota is the most underrated striker. Let's not act as
a player.
But he's always injured.
I don't mind. But right now, you play Diaz up top and playing this guy on the left wing. That's a masterstroke I never saw happening. Right? I never saw happening that you are going to put Gakpo on the left wing and your fortune is going to thin. Trust me. I never saw it come because I thought if there is no Dawizi, Gakpo is supposed to be there, but no, it works well, right? This guy drops in, plays with, he links up play with Salah well. He has the pace to go and he helps the midfield a lot. That is Diaz. You understand? By the time Diaz go tire, second team go come, he will kill the game. So this season we all talk say it be open. This be season City's worst season under Pep we've seen so far. He as a manager saved his worst managerial career so far. So it was all play all. So please, I'm done with Liverpool. Let's stop this top four. We are in for top four. Top four. Let me go to Arsenal. I've seen this movie several times. I've seen it happen. I'm only going to believe it when it's the last game and Arsenal is leading with 7 points with the last match. That's the only way I'll believe Arsenal will win it. Because I've seen Arsenal losing with 4 games to go. I've seen Arsenal losing with 7 games to go. I've seen Arsenal losing with 5 games to go. Do you get it? I've seen this movie before. They've beaten City 5-1. It's very convincing. It has helped them. What, out of 18 games, this is their third win also against City. 19 games now. This is their third win against City. City has been dominating them. And they've done well. They really trashed them. They trash them. But then again, we were saying this is one of the worst City teams we've seen.
100% so context.
Everything went well for Arsenal too. Everything. And it's like the rivalry, as Smiley spoke, it set a fire in the asses of the players. You could see that the players wanted it. You know, normally you see Arteta animated on the pitch side. He's rather trying to rally them. But no, Odegaard was doing it. All the players were doing it. This guy was like this guy tell him, say, today me and you 1-1, we go die. What's his name? Gabriel. You understand? You could see it. You could see that actually there was so much animosity. You understand? Like, I saw it. I saw it like they wanted it. There are times where Arsenal players don't want it. Kai Havertz missed their chance. He still wanted it. Because that chance could have broken him. What he missed, he could have like Charlie. But 1-0 went 1-1. They still wanted it. He still kept his head in the game. You understand? So, it's still open. I'm not going to say because of this match, I'm convinced Arsenal will win it. No. Arsenal will win this 5-1 and go and lose the next match 1-0 or go and play 2-2. I've seen them go up 2-0 and draw 2-2. It can happen. Liverpool has this luck this season where it looks as if they are going to lose. Then they come up with a win. If they are going to lose, they come up with, as I said, at Bournemouth match yesterday, I thought they were losing. I thought they had lost. I'd even at best draw. But they still found a way because, once again, world-class players
build teams out. World-class players build teams out. So not come and downplay your teams with bias. So that's all I have to say.
Van Gelder, let me switch it up small for you. So you, a few months ago, when we were asking about whether you would write off Man City in the title race, you said until the last day of the season, you never go write City off. But now, since we went on our break, things have gone from bad to worse for them. Do you think this form we've seen from Man City, it signifies something more significant? Do you think it's like the end of like City's period of dominance? Or you think it's just the one season blip?
It is pretty push the question.
Bro. See, first of all, since we had that episode, they went on some unbeaten run. They were just winning left, right, and center. Maybe today we then can't lose.
I mean, they win the small games, but in the big games, with the exception of Chelsea, then they lash everybody. But everybody lashed them.
No, but at the end of the day, that time then we talk, then they like eighth, and then they fourth. So for me, again, I can say that maybe it's harder for me to see how they come back in it, like to compete for the title. But I will still not say like this is such a significant shift. Bro, what did they do in January?
Charlie. There no go fit.
The title there, I go feel concede, say, okay, maybe they may not get it this year, right?
So then what did they talk?
And the talk say, the question be twofold. He say, is this some end of some era, something? Yeah, the talk say, that one there, I know they see up. Because what did they do in January? They went out there, they bought two defenders, one left winger. By summertime, then the person that they want buy for midfield, they make clear on them.
They're buying a midfielder. Who? From Porto.
Okay. I know they follow them on news, but let's even assume that this midfielder be another 50 million bomb.
By he is 50 time, million, funny enough.
But no, me, I assume, say it be another 50 million bomb. Like, what the guy they buy from?
Plus, man.
The guy they take out go Ipswich, what be him? Oh.
Phillips.
Calvin Phillips.
Assume this is another Calvin Phillips. By summer, they need that will augment their team and play like Rodri or be a deputy to Rodri. The next season, then go sign Cam again. Unless that 115 charges, you know, it hits, we then relegate them go Division 9. I'm not saying this is the end of any era or anything like that for us to assume like, oh, that be all, whatever. A cascade of things must happen. Like, they must lose Pep Guardiola, then 115 go hit, then they go jader all them are money, then half them are players like Haaland, them go left. Then I go feel,
domino,
I can't say, okay.
Effect.
Okay, fine. The dominoes be too much. They know if you handle them. But if it be just one season, we they no compete for title. After winning it four in a row, we they no compete for title. It's calm, man. It's calm.
Calm, bro.
See, already they said they ship them out. Them are old boys.
The oldies. Yeah.
See, Kawaka de Milan. Very soon, other people will follow. I think this is Kevin De Bruyne's last season in this space. I genuinely think in the summer he leaves. But if he leaves, you know, go shock me, say Man City go pull money from somewhere, go straight to buy Leverkusen, pick up Florian Wirtz, bring him here, finish. Then solve them at De Bruyne's situation. Then they move to other places. This is the team we are talking about. So, like, for me, it's so hard for me to see that Manchester City does not recover from this season. I think, yes, maybe, like, they go fight for top four. I think in the end, they'll make it. They'll get top four. They'll get Champions League for the next year. You know, then we go move on. But say it be some end of some era or something, I don't see it. But if I can just briefly comment on today's game, I think that this was such an emphatic victory for Arsenal. One might even call it a coming of age performance for them. Now, yes, I agree that everything came together well, like they bet City's worst team. But You can only beat who is in front of you. You can only beat who is in front of you. You know the matter. Look, we see times where United they down, where City they top. Then the United will go Etihad, go last City, come back, can't lose to Southampton or something the next day. This season stuff, you know, happen. You don't go in there, go score them. The next match, no, you can't lose. It be normal. Like, you can only beat the team that is in front of you. Arsenal caught City. You could have caught them, you know, on a bad day. Wait and lash them where. You know, it's fine. Arsenal have done it. It's a very good performance by Arsenal. I don't think they win the league. It's Arsenal. And I don't think they win the league. It's just, yeah. If you die till something, go take due to no. Next season, yeah, we beat City 5-1. But I don't think they win the league. But I want to ask Corey one question. Because I see a lot of Arsenal fans starting to complain.
Come at me, bro.
It's about one player, B.
Who that?
Kai Havertz.
Everybody who they complain about, they talk. They bitch. For no reason.
Mm.
This boy, even... Nah. It actually pisses me off when people attack the boy. Make the boy play the ball. He has played every single minute for every single game. No rest, no nothing. Every time he did play, if he missed 2-3 chances, no, then they vex the boy. He's not Haaland. He will miss. Even Haaland, they miss big chances.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the big deal? He scored 14 or 15 goals this season. This is from a player that nobody... they watch safe. Nobody, if it's somebody in trash, we go collect. We right now, the guy works like so much for the team. Yet every time, if something not happen, then they bash up. Yes, he misses chances that could win you games. Arsenal miss chances in general. Because since, I don't even want to use Aubameyang himself as an example, because that guy, Shampas, he miss chances. Till today, that Olympiacos miss, still they pay me. So there means something's way discouraged. So this every time people attack Havertz, I'm actually glad you brought that, because every time people attack Havertz, it's like, Charlie, just shut up and let the guy play. Already Itaya, give him two weeks off, make it two, you go relax, then refresh your brain, watch some series, then relax your body dentist. Then you come back refreshed. Bro, every 3 days. This January, every 3 days, the guy they play. After, I can't remember what game it was. I think 2 games ago, they finished the game. Charlie, the guy just collapsed for the crowd. He died. So, as for Kai, make them just relax, give Kai. Make Kai play in game. Make him score in 14, then 15.
Well, if I talk, then we talk, say the agenda. He be bomb. The guy be bomb. Make you don't do this. He run, so what? What you mean say tire? We are with the job with tire. We tire on our job. Me to my job at tire. I did work hard every day. Amy bomb. Amy bomb.
Yeah, I'm 60, just asking.
They'll go buy him 60. How much? 65 million. 65 million. The money they will cash up here. And this thing, people said it. That's why, like, when Arsenal fans are complaining about not having a striker, me, I know they feel bad for them. Because they've had so many opportunities to buy a number 9. This guy, Ateta, he go buy him, say, he basically bought him as a striker.
That's a midfielder.
No, he can't be the player of number 9. He always be play, he be my striker.
Hey, they are
completely
wrong.
How am I completely wrong? The guy has played number 9 more than he has played midfield.
Fred, relax. He buy him as midfielder. He tried for the midfielder. He bumped past the striker himself.
I disagree.
That be the place that he play. He bumped past the striker for the midfielder. Where he say, you know what, I'll make, sorry, come for it, quick, we go free use your height to do with one football, you know, hold up, play well, you know, work hard for the front there, you know, pressing from the front, whatever, he'd be good for those dentists. Where he started playing for fun, but they bought him to come and replace, what be the guy's name? The guy
well, go, true. The guy go
Leverkusen. Granit Xhaka. They bought him to replace Xhaka. They tried 3-4 matches for them. He now say, sorry, wrong profile. Wait, move up, go front.
No, but the guy, the buy him the profile where they play, where Tuchel the player. Tuchel the player in the front there.
Because Tuchel to see, they say, midfield not there. If you put it for them, bomb. Frank Lampard try him for the midfield. If Lampard sees it, the midfield will be bomb. Then everybody else for not say, you'll be bomb for them. Wait, to move up, go for it.
So, exactly. So, if the guy they play your number 9, Where you get what, 9 goals this season or something as your main number 9? Where Arsenal, I know we say Arsenal know the play chances.
He's 15 goals, bro.
He's in 9 goals in the
he's
Premier League.
He doesn't have 15 goals.
Why does he have 15 goals?
Is it 15 goals this season?
Yeah, but we're talking about the Premier League. League.
Oh,
he has 9.
The Premier League, we don't also have any player in the top 10 goal scorers.
And that's a big problem. Exactly. Because people put the term, you say Jackson, might be cool. You continue.
So
you can beat him with lots of us stick, but I disagree.
So, and so it's not unfair that people are criticizing me. The only thing I'm always against is when people go and attack people personally. Like you will go tweet for Ianda, or they reply in tweets, or you will go mention Instagram. I disagree. But as a number 9 for Arsenal, with the chances Arsenal have been creating, the guy he'd be bomb. So if people they criticize him, don't say it's unfair. You can't necessarily tell me that he they run all the time. Charlie, if you go put him for Liverpool.
It's my opinion in terms of how unfair it is in terms of how much they criticize him. You can criticize him all you want. I'm talking about the level of criticism he gets. Every single chance he misses is like he has missed the world.
But Corey, sorry to catch the cam. Fred, the reason why people do that, you have to situate that premise properly. Arsenal fans 100% believe they are top dogs, and therefore their striker must be clinical and put away chances. So yes. If they look at people where then they figure this guy when a striker's better pass, if you take someone like Jackson, Chelsea fans every time they complain to Jackson shine. But Jackson has outscored Havertz he hasn't scored a goal in like 8 matches, but he's still ahead of Havertz. You know, but if Arsenal fans they watch Jackson, they watch players like this thing. Chris Wood, they watch players like Isak, then they outscored them as striker. Who is Kai Havertz? Then 100% they have every right to complain. Especially as Freddie said, when you open, well, your chance creation this season has been wobbly. But even in that, you still created enough for him to score. Like the chance he missed today. Today he should have had 2 goals and 1 assist. He had 1 goal, 1 assist.
Yeah, you never... and the thing you see, this one, you know, we say I'm a Liverpool fan. But it's true. Like I said it to a friend of mine a few weeks ago. And recently, as he said, some of the pundits that they talked at him. Arsenal thought this season was their season, right? It's almost like for the last 2 years, they've been chasing City. The last year, for example, they won like 17 out of 19 games. So something crazy like that at the end. And this year, City know the force. You know, Liverpool go get new manager. So, they miss at the beginning of the season. I know they see I'm saying Liverpool go the title inside. So, in a way, Arsenal fans feel very, very, very or more agitated just the fact that it's not City and that it's Liverpool. You get me? Like, if it was City that was on top of, they'll understand that, okay, maybe City have their capabilities. But Arsenal genuinely believe that they have it. Arsenal fans genuinely believe they have a better team than Liverpool. And that's arguable because in the last 3 years, they have actually performed better than Liverpool. So the fact that Kai Havertz is part of the reason why they feel they are not top of the league, you go get the frustration. That one, it'd be normal. Like, okay. It's like me then Darwin. If I see Darwin, they miss some chance. He they run, but that, you know, they do me anything. Charlie, at this point, it's the goals. So in terms of criticism, that one, they deserve them. But I'm also saying that the over the top one, where people, they go write things for them, family in mentions and things. That one is out of it. But as a striker, he has not delivered for Arsenal. Let's not even... I would say he's been a flop, but he's been an average player for Arsenal. Like, Havertz is not someone who will make me scared if Liverpool is playing Arsenal. That one they'll be true.
Okay, so before we move on, let me put in a small announcement. For those of you who are familiar with what has been happening on the Ghanaian sports scene, recently, Sportybet announced that they were going to be starting a sports station, a 24-hour sports radio station. And as some of you may already know, our own Kawawa has joined them now. He's left TV3 and he's joined them now. But additional exciting news is that after the whistle, we will now have episodes on Sporty FM every Tuesday at 2 a.m. It'll be prime time slots, but Tuesday 2 a.m. If you go down where you booze on a Monday night where they come out, you go feel listen after the whistle on Sporty FM.
Our foreign listeners go feel listen during.
Our listeners like Fred who are in the diaspora to if the time suits you, if you listen on Sports FM 2 a.m., it wouldn't be the whole episode that will be there, but part of our episodes will now be on Sports FM. So, yeah, in addition to being on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we are now going to be on Sports FM. So that's some exciting development that's happening this season. And also, before we continue, if you haven't done this already, please subscribe to us on our YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you will find podcasts, we did it. Now, moving on, Man United. I don't even know how to describe the predicaments that we've once again found ourselves in. But once again, before our break, there was more optimism surrounding Man United than there is now, particularly from our very own crack. I'm all vim. I'm all fire.
I'm all vim.
I'm all enemies.
Thank you. Thank you.
Charlie Crack, what happened, yo, man? Because right now, it looks like the light at the end of the tunnel will go off. So what's up? How do you feel about yet another disappointing defeat, especially at Old Trafford? Because now, I think United have lost their last five. Their five out of their last six games at Old Trafford. What's going wrong with your Amorim era?
With my Amorim era, it'd be my Amorim.
Not be you come give me. Not be you come
my Amorim era.
Now you say my Amorim era.
My era no start. My era no start.
Hey, as for right now, where we did.
I have been consistent with what I have said about Amorim. Right, I have been. If you go back and listen to when I said I'm all vim, I'm all fire, whatever the case is. If you listen to me clearly, I said that until we get him his own players, until we have a full season with him, right, where he gets to implement his style, I'm not going to criticize him. I wrote off this season. And if you go back and listen, it's still there. So I'm not going to act like, oh, I was expecting something. I was expecting this, but not this bad, though. But I was expecting this, right? I was expecting trouble. I was expecting, like, bro, inconsistency, losses here and there. Because Charlie, even this Bournemouth coach that they are praising him right now, his first 10 matches, he didn't win just one. Yeah, they were scoring 3-4. And Tim, poor large, they will even say, why did they sack Gary O'Neill? It happens. Liverpool get good one time, but it happened. It good for him. What if next season, if maybe Salah names not day, you'll go day 12? You wouldn't know. I mean, you can't know. This season, somebody say, oh, we are not in the title challenge. They found themselves second. If they lose, they pay them. So, lucky that he wanted to be the title challenge. I don't mention it. You understand? So, they say words carry. Words carry.
I mean, you get your wish now.
You get your wish now. Right now, they say, Maza is the worst coach. West coach, Maza. Anyways, you understand?
Hey.
Move on. You get it. So, me like this, eh? I find it bizarre how United have made their season go, right? Because from all indications, it looked as if Ten Hag was a ticking time bomb. Prior to the season, I would say 90% of United fans thought he was going, thought the club was going to sack him. Even after they triggered his final year, we all thought like he was even going to go, they were going to pay him off or not even trigger it. Like, but you leave him on and you still invest heavily in him. You invest 3 years in a coach that has a certain style. Me personally, I don't believe that as a coach is philosophy or bust. Not in terms of philosophy or bust. It's formation or bust, right? I personally don't believe in that. You should be able to be fluid based on the strength of the players you have and the caliber of players you've met right now because you're going to change. But this is a coach that he has consistently said, this is it, or go away. Liverpool went in for him. It was the same thing. Other clubs have tried. He said, this is my formation. I'm not going to budge. So United knew this and went in for him. So we have no option than to be patient with him. But personally, buying Zexi, buying players that amount, knowing that the coach, you're going to sack him very soon. It's poor team management, because we are in a financial mess already and they are wasting more money. Right? We are wasting more money, and it's like right now, Charlie, even offloading the players we already have, it's going to be hard. I'm just surprised that these players keep on making basic mistakes. If you watch most of our matches, it's like, I won't find, like, you ever been group leader of a group of bums before? Like, see, you ever been group leader where they don't do the work, but you do the work, where you go present, but you give this guy, say, bro, I beg, read this. Like, read this part. In case they ask you a question, or they say make somebody else, then you read, then we change. All right, that strategy we use, right? Then you go catch there. Then the guy they do after your marking. I mean right now, just be the United players. So this, like, you can't tell me that. See, you can't tell me as a player, you're unable to understand what the coach wants from you and what you are supposed to do, even if not to the TSF, like, show signs of progress. It's like TV is, I don't know. Maybe United is cursed. I don't know. Maybe there's something going on. I don't know. But this match, I put it on the coach. Because me, he tried, it didn't work. With this Manu, false nine, he tried it. But I put it on him. Right? Losing at home this way, two strikers, benching them. It took balls. You bench your two strikers, started a midfielder's false nine. It didn't work. So it's on you. You carry. But generally, I'm not going to rate Amori now. I'm giving him, as I said, next season, summer. Let's see who he's going to get. This doggone and familiar we go by. You know. This doggone. What's up? You know, there are sometimes your team makes signings that, bro, you've seen it in the fire that way or your bomb. Like, I've seen it. Like, look, when we're signing Dan James, ask Smiley, when we're signing Daniel James, I was telling Smiley them that, like, this guy get potential. Right? When we're even signing Dan James. But this be the first time we at the beg say, hey, oh God, please don't let this happen. Why? What we see in this boy? Like, why? What we see? Meanwhile, we get player for Benfica. Alvaro. The guy they start. Starting left back for there. Where we go if you bring him? Where you go if you play this system safe? Why we not trigger in close? We get buyback. Why we not trigger and bring him back? We go sign this doggone. You watch every day they dribble him. Every day they dribble him. And then
you get compilation videos.
It don't be a compilation. We watch live match. No good. We watch live match.
Let's say in last 13, one v one.
Why do you want?
I want to ask you some question. So you know, say as teams they can't sign players. As you enter YouTube, you know, algorithm. Go say, this is why Manchester United wants X. This is why X player 2023, 2024 season skills, passes, dribbles. I won't be say not the release video for Wanaboy.
Someday, I know, like, you know, good. Simple as that. The guy no good. Me, this strategy of United signing only kiddies. Bro, club. Come for that. You know, work. You understand? If you are bringing in a coach and you are going to be signing such players for him, we might as well just bring Fletcher, make Andy there, or go bring academy coach, make Andy there, because you need to invest. You need to invest to compete. I don't like this strategy. Amori, we made a bet, lie in it. The coach say it be this system at the play. I don't get any other system. You kill me, open my head, this is the system. You still went in for him. Me, I'm always giving coaches chance until this is no good. I'm not one of those people that if coach they come, no, I won't make you fail and all those. I'll give him a chance. I'll still criticize you where, because Ryan, since he came, we've not lost any Europa match. Right? From where we were when he came till now, we've had 100% record in a Europa game. Do you get it? So he's doing good somewhere else. We not Arsenal out of the FA Cup. In January, we played 7 matches. We lost only one. We are in February, so we can't have this one. You understand? In January, we lost. So there are some signs that we've seen that Charlie, when it hits, it hits. But if I'm to grade him now, based on what I'll see, I'll give him a C minus. You get it. There's still room for improvement. So, yeah.
So, for me, you know, from the beginning, I was very skeptical about the three back and everything. And since then, I've not really seen much to make me feel good about it. Like, me, my thing is, I have plenty issues with it. Because assuming they give him all the players he wants and everything, there's still no guarantee that the team go good at the end of everything. Like, it's possible that he could get all his players and still not be good. The only managers who, like, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, like, yeah, give them their players, I know that they'll succeed. Pep, Klopp, Ancelotti. I can't think. The others, like, there would always be question marks. Amorim is still a very young manager. There's still nothing to prove that if you give him the players he wants, you succeed. And what is even worse is that if you build a team for a three-back system and you sack him, you are probably either going to have to replace him with another three-back manager or you do a whole new rebuild because the players wouldn't be suitable for a new manager system. Particularly for the idea that he is bringing, you are not going to have actual fullbacks. You have wingbacks. So you have to sack them and sign actual fullbacks. You not have actual wingers. You have right 10, left 10, or whatever it is that he's trying to do. Like, I've not seen too much that makes me feel good. Like, I'm not the thing about me is that I've always been someone who believes that winning is the most important thing. I don't care how you do it. If you want to play Simeone football and win, fine. If you want to play Pep football and win, fine. The bottom line is, are you going to win? That's the most important thing to me. So the idea that, like, we have to suffer this season before next season things go good, it's not something that's particularly sits well with me because I've seen other managers who go into a team and make do with what they have until they get what they want. Sometimes to even after a while, they see that, okay, even though I came in with this idea, I've come to meet a different set of players who make me feel like I have to play in a different way. Let me use Thomas Tuchel, for example, when he went to Chelsea. He had never played a three-back system before that. But he went to Chelsea, he saw the players, he saw what he had, and he said, okay, this be what's going to work for me. He did it, and he won the Champions League. So, for me, those are the things I want to see in a manager. I don't like this new breed of managers who they be very rigid. They have to do everything in a very specific way. Because for me, another thing is that your system or your philosophy isn't only the formation. Like, we've seen Pep play different formations in his time, from Bayern to Barca to City. He's played different formations, he's tried different things, but in the end, you still know what he's trying to do. Like, even though the formation might be different, in the end, the team still looks similar in what they're executing on the pitch. So, this whole idea that, like, if it's three back or nothing else, like, for me, it's a red flag. It's seriously a red flag. And I've not seen much to give me much optimism. Again, like, crack me, I'm the sort of person who likes to give managers a lot of grace and hope. That, like, I'm not going to write you off immediately. But if I'm seeing red flags too, Charlie, it's hard for me to overlook it. Because at least Ole, I gave him the benefits of the doubt in the beginning because at least he gave me some new manager bounce. In first 14 matches, he won 13. Like, at least he gave me something to cling on to, some small hope. We, Amorim, we don't even get new manager bounce. No, everybody just started last week, left and right. So, yeah, like, the system, like, I just feel like he could have started with a system that at least suits the players better. And then as you sign the players that you want, you can slowly phase them from one system to another. Because as things stand right now, I can say the only person in the squad who this current system suits is Maguire. Right now, Maguire can turn like one of our best players once again just because the system shields him from his weaknesses. He's the only person in the team who benefits from what we are doing right now. So, me, I just feel like it shouldn't have been a complete switch into this. Like, he could have faced them small. Like, even this January that now he signed this Dogon or whatever. Right now, if he starts, face them small into your system, maybe you can start with a few of the weaker teams. Like, just test it out. The Rangers game, some few games here and there, you test out your system, see how it goes. But the entire switch, and it seems like we just self-destructed our season in November. It's not something that sits well with me. But okay, Van Gelder, how do you feel about the Amorim era, considering that you also have a new manager who is also trying to do new things, but it's not going as badly as United?
I'm all of him. That'd be the first thing I want to talk. I'm all of him to you guys. I genuinely have no idea what he's trying to do. And this might just be, you know, that thing where some manager will come, he will make shit at the beginning, then go find him feet after one preseason, then they go start the ball out. It might just be that he's been thrown into the deep end and what he's trying to do is not sticking. But it's very, when it clicks, it's very nice. And it gives you some very good endorphins. But more often than not, it doesn't click. And it's a big problem. I don't know how you guys are, but I'm glad you're experiencing what I experienced last year. Whether you win, lose, or draw, you still stay where you did. You're rooted, deeply rooted to that place. You don't remove, go anywhere. Then at the time you people say it'll be very serious in football, they left my inside. I don't want to watch again. Everybody forget how they play. See how it is? No, they be. But I have a question.
See, Van Gelder, sorry to interrupt you. That thing you talk, say football, they left your inside, no. See, it be true. See, at first, Van Gelder, I didn't laugh you. But it be true. If you roll your eyes all in the water, hey, master, if you roll your eyes all in the water. If your team, they bomb, man. In the mid ball, or they look some way to you.
You know the West part, Corey. You know the West part.
Make you ask Praxi, the United game, the way they.
Corey, do you know the West part?
The way they watch the game for.
Even if you don't. Corey, see. Even if you vex, you still go watch the match. Even if you no watch, you still go check live score, flash score, super score. Where you some optimism, say, maybe today, maybe just for once, they'll do something important, something serious. Then you go see either if they win, you say, okay, good. Then you go check the table. They did what you did. You know the move. Because everybody around you to win.
man.
But I have a question. It's about the player. Kwabena, let's talk about Kwabena.
Kwabena Menu.
what's going on there?
I
don't know if it be the system, if it be the formation, if it be the pairing, that in this case will be staffing, or if it be just say after the injury, you know, he regressed to mean. So right now we de see what he really be, because it be like you put the produce of other Koyla or whatever, Koleba, whatever his name be. E to he did there, then the hype up say he better make them just drop. The Kwabena, make them play that guy. So, Smiley Crack, maybe you guys go for help with. Because then your bomb attackers, Sexy, then in Kuzon. Yeah, me, every time I go, if like Chelsea the fool, then I just go search that on scene in tweet, say, United have agreed a deal with Atalanta, 85 million, then my heart could come down. Now, I'm not okay. Me pay my team, they buy bomb. Other people too, they experience, they see bomb, then they go take the money put inside. So, let's talk about Kwabena for a second. What's going on there? What's happening?
See, that's just another example of the system not suiting certain players. Again, the only person in the team who the system suits is Maguire. Because that system means that Menu has to play in a midfield too. To play in a midfield too, usually you have to be like a very energetic player. Like, you need a lot of energy for that particular role. That's not Menu. He's a player who is typically suited for a midfield three. So it's as simple as that. It doesn't suit him to play in a midfield two. And recently, Amorim tried him as a number 10. It wasn't too bad, but again, it was against Rangers. Even though, like, after the game, a lot of United fans were saying, after the game, a lot of United fans were saying, yeah, make him play the number 10, it'd be good for him and things. But the thing about Menu too is that I don't think he creates consistently enough to be a number 10. So, like, it'd be one of those things that he go play there every now and then and he go impress you. But if you play him there for a long time, then suddenly you go start see things where he go frustrate you. So it's just as simple as that.
Make I just land for here, then you go take over. Me all I know be say any system where your best player for the system be Maguire, it be Bob. Nobody could be that be hey. Any system where the person, the only person he did benefit from that system be Harry. Maintenance French Maguire in the boom system, and I don't want to hear it anymore.
No, with the system, the system doesn't just benefit Harry Maguire. He has played in it consistently and he looks comfortable in it. But I mean, Martinez on the left side of defense, he with his passing and all, he has been doing well. And then what's the name? This guy Ugarte. Ugarte was a Maurice player before they brought him to PSG and he brought him back. So he's also familiar with the system and with this coach, right? But more often than not, his midfield partner is the issue. Whether he puts Bruno there, whether he puts Manu there, he leaves him alone there and he works tirelessly. And that's an issue. Because even when when Chelsea was playing the three back with Conte, this guy was very disciplined in midfield. Matic. You had Matic and you had a workaholic like Kante next to Matic. So such a midfield helps. With Menu's own thing about I wouldn't put it solely on formation because he was having issues before Ten Hag was sacked. I think after his injury, he came back, he has come back in, out of shape. He has. We all say that he has lost a bit of pace. It's even a movement that he has become like heavier, right? And you can see it. Like he's not as mobile as he used to be. But then again, he's a small boy. He's allowed to have a bad season here and there or bad this one here and there. All this people that one can't do because we push agenda and menu there. Nothing people if he tell me can't do like menu be bomb, but he'll never be bomb. Nothing if he tell me. He's just in a bad situation right now and a bad thing happening and things are not going against him. And I agree with what Smiley said. Menu is finding it difficult in this system and he's not the only one because most of the experienced players are. But I don't think it's a system where he can't play. I just think he needs time and he needs conditioning as well because he plays 60 minutes and is gassed. You can see because he works as in that midfield, he has to work. I don't believe he's supposed to be a 10. I don't believe he's supposed to be up top. Yeah, when he's up top, I mean, he does well. But I still believe his best position is in midfield. And even if he's not going to play there, and he's going to play one of the 10s up top, our striker will have to be good and pacey. And then next to Ahmad or another player that we are going to get, it's critical. Then our next signings are going to be critical. So with Menunu, I don't think it's solely on just the formation. I think he has come back this season, since the beginning of the season. After his injury, like his conditioning, he has become heavier. You can see he has become heavier. He has lost some of his mobility and he's a kid and he's allowed to. New coach has come. He's still adapting. Oh, yeah.
Finally, I want to talk about now your second keeper. Maya, what be your name? Smiley.
Why you want to talk about second keeper? He's not important enough to talk. What do you want to talk about him?
I want to say how you put take money go buy out.
But you better pass to Nana.
Hey, wait. You can't do that.
You know, be something I go argue. You know, me, you go find me arguing on behalf of Onana or anything. Onana, if you say Fatah or Dana is a better person, I don't go argue.
You have to help me here.
Onana.
Are you serious?
Everybody's better than Onana.
I have an honest question about Onana though. Was he always like this?
He's always been like this.
Yes, Onana. He has always been like this. Yes.
even at Inter.
That more than Inter before.
Ajax.
What a director.
Onana.
So Onana, where did the hype come from?
I mean, the one season.
That one season won that the Inter.
Where go the finals now?
Where they go the final? Where they catch? The boy they come straight to him, then they catch him. Come straight to him, then they catch him.
Where to be honest, it be the final. The final, man. The Man City they press Inter Milan like very high.
Where they break, very calm.
They do those in dink passes. So where you see the Inter Milan, so they play the three backs. So the white people always did that outlet always did there. So then people they talk say challenge if he beats the press and at the time, De Gea was known for having very bad kicking, right? So as the boys go watch that match, we then see. So
this is what we want.
If you look at from the beginning, I'm talking to you people. You see African keeper eat a catch like that before. Then this. Then boys they tell me say, oh, I be racist and things. But it's true. As we grow up, more boys no one catch. Like in generally we like to play midfield. That's why we.
They're striker.
Yeah, and striker. So. The guy no be goalkeeper.
You've amused your body.
the guy know the feet catch ball. Right now the passing to the Z is sharp for inside. See, I never that keeper, he did give me joy. In terms of Asu joy, you know. Onana be like number one. Maybe make I think of another player where he be close
Sanchez
by to
for
Onana.
Me number two.
Jackson be number two, but Onana be number one. It did give me joy as an opposing player. He's sharp.
Onana, every time I see him, that's in calm down. I always remember that.
Yeah,
season, that penalty gimmick that they do, they will go and they go do something.
You see, the thing about Onana, BC,
But you see, Fred, you are right. Because, yes, African players, the problem is that Onana didn't even want to play football. Then he won't tell police. So, like, right now, if they play brass band, it is, I don't know how he migrate from there can't play football. But smile, they take over.
You see, Onana, the thing about him is that he's simply your typical keeper where he gets serious bozo gene. So no matter what, he can show up at any time. Like he go fit day in form for like 15 games, doing everything right. One day, he still go show up. So it's just one of those things that he just can't avoid. And it's something that even if you watch in comps before he joined United, it's something that is always present. And I think even the articles I read about him, one of those articles actually mentioned it, that Onana, he has long periods in a season where he can be good. And then if he makes one mistake, it can continue for like maybe 2 months continuous. He just, they make mistakes. If in confidence, you shoot him down or like he's done. And then maybe for like 2 months, it's mistakes. And then you find form again and you think that, oh, right now there, the pass is behind him. Then he go show you in true colors again. So that's just how it is. And that's how he is. Like, it never will go away. But yeah.
Make me move on. Okay. Yeah, I just want to add something like, right, the Onana debate to be funny, right? Because personally, I've never believed in black keepers. The keeper will be black, and the only black keeper with that, the trust him be Sami Yedde. The only black keeper with that, the only black keeper, it sounds like ethnocentrism, racism.
I don't care. What is this?
No, let me tell you something. No African keeper day, where them born them, as he start playing for West, he's a goalkeeper.
Exactly.
No African keeper. Hey, them all be outfield players. They get to a point where you go, if you get some height. You know, say, Africa, you get six, you make tall, small, or whatever, say, Charlie, find a career here. Go and force. Almost every African keeper, not even almost every African keeper, then it was his dream to be an outfield player. And Onana is no different. Right. The problem with Onana is, you know, those keepers where the time where you need them, that way they kill the team in spirit. That'd be Onana. Onana be monitoring spirit. Like, Onana be monitoring spirit. Onana they kill confidence. Like, De Gea in last three seasons was bad, right? But we've seen excellent moments with De Gea. Even prior to the season he left, he won the Golden Gloves, right? The season where he shot for WSF, he won the Golden Glove. Onana come. He's competing with De Gea's worst season. As somebody who for day in prime, think about it. Somebody will go by for day in prime. If they compete with the wanna keep in West is the way we suck up. Like see the bright team go so. This be routine every day.
So to on to arguably the biggest sporting news of, let's say, maybe the past how many years? I don't know. Because here's the thing. Me, I'm not an avid basketball watcher. But I like to read about basketball. One of the first things I do every morning when I wake up is I go to the NBA Twitter page and I check the scores. Then I read a few articles. So I don't watch the games because there are too many breaks in the games for me to ever get fully into basketball. But like I like to read basketball news. I like to follow basketball results. So this morning I woke up. First thing I saw on my timeline, Luka Doncic has been traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the LA Lakers for Anthony Davis and a bunch of other players who I'm not too familiar with. As soon as I see that, I stop. This was like around like 5:30 a.m. or something. I just wake up. Those things where you just go wake up briefly, check your phone, and you go back to sleep. From then, I couldn't sleep again. I'm still trying to wrap my head because even though, like, again, I'm not the biggest basketball fan, like, the thing rock me as if, like, I'm a basketball fan because me, Luka, from the little I know of basketball, Luka is one of my favorite players. I don't really like, it's not that I don't like the Lakers. I just like hit on crack. So, like, the fact say crack, they support LeBron, it puts me on the other side of the fence. First of all, like, how do crack, how did you feel? Like, me, I know what your first reaction was, but, like, how did you actually feel when you first saw the news?
So, first of all, usually if I sleep, my phone day my body. And my phone is always, I don't put my phone on D&D, right? So when you message me, it vibrates and says, you know, I wake up very early. But for some reason, this time, my phone day my desktop, right? So I don't really, I pick my phone, no. Crack, come online, crack, come online. I did get messages here and there, pump, 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 way shams, pump, 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 message NBA. I get an NBA app and everything, like, pump, 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 pump. I say, wait, what? But the first place I'll go be, I'll open smiley my message. Luka Doncic has been traded to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and the 2029 first round pick. It took me a minute. Like, there are things say it be joke, it be prank, because AD is releasing a prank show, right? Where he's going to launch it, like, next month or something like that. Like, they do the preclude and all those. So, for a minute, I thought it was, oh, it be AD will want prank the NBA world for a show or what? So I say, okay, I see smiling on. Make a go my notification. I go see Shams. I go see Chris Hayes. I say, hey! Well, I say, you know what? Make a go check ESPN. Ah! Patrick Mahomes! Oh, everybody they react. No, what is this? Like, and they say, pam, 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 pam. NBA Twitter in the frenzy. Like, see, people know they understand what's happening. Like, I've seen people say, explain it in football terms. Explain it. Look, even if anybody go try explain them in football terms, it go hard.
Yeah,
the closest I could tell, the closest I could tell somebody was Neymar, right? The closest I could tell somebody was
crack. Sorry, but this explains it. Somebody gave an analogy, and they can't repeat them to you. Then you go tell me if that analogy is close to what it is. They said, so you see the current Neymar way, you know, they feel bend on in left knee. Imagine, say, Barca trade Yamal for that Neymar.
Oh, no. Now, who be there?
Davis is that bad.
Yeah, no, I know.
He be bad. He still be very good, but is he injury prone?
Oh, then my network, the four, I don't hear you. All. I beg you, try
then to say then say somebody's, then somebody analogy be say, then trade this current Yamal at this age where he's still the develop for the current Neymar way he be injury prone in time finish.
Nah,
you know,
I saw one that was, I think, closer. Someone said it's like Real Madrid trading Vinicius Jr. or Rodrigo for Kevin De Bruyne. This guy is Kevin De Bruyne. I feel like that one might be a bit closer because De Bruyne
closer. And another one I said was, I don't know why I said I think was close, was 25-year-old Neymar, right? 25-year-old Neymar for 31-year-old Casemiro. Because 31-year-old Casemiro was still one of the best DMs in the world at Real Madrid. You understand? And AD is one of the best defenders and bigs in the league. Top 10 player, he's still one of the top 10 players. He's an all-star and all of those things. Casemiro at 31 was still one of the best DMs and he was winning with Madrid. You understand? So that was the closest I could see. That's how big the bombshell is. Like Neymar, 25 years. Right now, they can't hit in primo. Mind you, Neymar was not there in primo. Luka Doncic not there in prime yet. He not there in prime. Just say he start play basketball early. At 13 years, we start play basketball. By 16 years, you already start for Real Madrid. Already started win MVP. By 18, already win. So like, you know those fast. And right now, in 7 years in his NBA career, he has a third highest points per game. This one. And points, like he's averaging 28. He's third in NBA history. You understand? So he still has a height he's with. And there are some players where like they are franchise players. There are players that they are untouchable. Like, you go fit tell the team, say, I'll give you $1 billion. Give me this player. You go talk, say, no, I've projected my future and everything around them, man. Like I mentioned, 5 players in the NBA where they be untouchable, make you understand the gravity of it. This guy, what be his name? Jokic. Mm. Jokic. Luka.
Giannis.
SG. And Wemby. Right, let me mention just like there are more I could have gone to, but let me just mention this 5. Right, you build your team, NBA, you build your team around superstar generational talents. Right, that's what you do. You build your team around generational talents. And Luka was Dallas and Texas. Like, he was so significant to them, like Luka Magic. Like, see, the love, like, do you know, like, the Mavs have lost 700,000 followers on their IG just after this news. Like, everybody is still in shock. You know, we say you, they get bomb player, but the problem is you are trading for AD, who is injury prone. For the past 2 years, he hasn't really been, but with a big like that, AD doesn't have 3 years in him at the top because he can shut down at any time. But Lakers can say all things being equal, they can get 10 years out of Luka. LeBron will go. Right now, they have a successor. He's a global superstar. He will bring people to the city. He will bring people to the arena. They will make money, brand deals. It's like he has revived the Lakers franchise. While Dallas will have to rebuild again. The advantage they have right now is they can win now because they have the pieces around AD where they have, that's why I say they have a 2 to 3 years window where they have to do something. If not, so I in my NBA life, I have seen LeBron to Miami Heat, but that was a free agent. I've seen KD to the Warriors. He was a free agent. I've seen KD, Kyrie, Harden, all at Brooklyn. I've seen KD go to the Suns. Like, I have seen trades. Like, I've even seen OKC fleecing Pratt. Everything for, like, Pratt. I'm trying to even make
these,
sense of
the
it.
People, they requested it too. This one, it'd be out of the blue. Like, most of these things you are mentioning, the players, they request them. Like,
oh, no, this
KD
was,
say he won't left.
No. They don't request them. No. Listen to what, see. The only request KD made was to leave Brooklyn. And that one said it was because of like going to the Suns. By the time KD go Warriors, he was a free agent.
You understand? That's what I'm saying.
He don't request, like, he don't request, say, he left this team, right? And normally, if you read the Mav story, right? It's like me and Smiley. We've had a relationship for 20 years. Smiley, they run United and they run Arsenal. Then, for like 2 months, me and Smiley, they talk, say, Charlie, you sure say, if I say, Mo could do this thing, you go do? And Smiley to say, it makes sense, but you sure say, go be happy? So me and Smiley,
We now with the do wanna. Where they know, as you say, I tell Smiley, say, Charlie, we could make it happen. So Smiley say, so Smiley still go shock, say, ah, now, where Jimmy, Anna? Now, this thing, I they take joke, but you sure say, you won't give me this your franchise player? And there are some players where, if they offer you, if they say, bring your mother, save you, but they go. Trust me, in this context, you don't pass on Luka Doncic. If they say, give LeBron, save, give him. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
You understand? There are some players,
that's a statement, though.
It's true. If they say give LeBron, say if you go give him, because LeBron is fucking 40. LeBron doesn't have 2-3 years in him. He could actually go.
Then say the guy, no. LeBron for teach him some diets, be make he come.
He make
you go even higher. They say the way say coffee be fat. Is it? I see some people from the
this,
mouth, man.
This fat.
He's a fat slob, but he's our fat.
He is our slob. I retweeted himself. And it's true. You know that thing where you get player away, Charlie? People go to talk, say, oh, he's out of shape and all those things. But he's your, like, no, not be your player, say, your son. Everybody go to say, that. Your son. Everybody go to say,
that.
Everybody
go to say, exactly.
Yeah. Everybody go to say, yeah. Everybody go to say, as I put it, but he's the love of your life. Leave him to me. You know, start, you know, like, that be Luka. Luka in deficiencies or whether you are saying, he's bad on defense, team targeting medicine. His offensive output, not many players can do what this guy does. The gravity
he
pulls,
bro. 73.
Against the Hawks, I watched that game.
Wait, 73 points a game.
Yes.
In the game, one game.
No, wait, in that game.
I don't watch a lot of NBA, but when I watch NBA, 115, 100 and this thing points.
So think about it. Yeah. And if you go check in playoffs at this young age, go check in playoffs. He has multiple 40 games. He has a 50 game. He has 30 games. In playoffs, so the guy is averaging 30. He's averaging 38 or so in playoffs in just 7 years. Something even Jordan said.
The Clippers, they always go out for in front.
And not even just the Clippers. Even the Suns. Like there are some players where there are some teams where they own them.
Before you continue, I want to hear from Fred too. Like you, because you're in a different time zone. Were you awake when the news was announced? And how did you also feel about
it? I even saw it later than you guys because. I wake up the way I see the thing. So then it'd be like 12 o'clock for Ghana. And I saw it was like, 6 or 7 hours ago. Charlie, and to be very honest with you, and I even tweeted it, I think it'll be April Fool's Day, because I'm not saying today be the first, or like, or be around the first. So, Charlie, when you saw April Fool, I mean, yes, it'd be first. So, like, it they do me like I saw April Fool days from early because
Valentine's.
Well, right now too, you see Twitter. You know if you believe me, I know they believe anything that they read on Twitter. You know,
because
so
fucking guy.
Yeah, the blue ticks plenty.
Yeah, the blue ticks plenty. So I say sometimes then they Charlie, I go see the way after they see the players, then my tweets. They like I see KD. I think KD said if this. I saw a video of KD. He said if this happens to Luka, then like what could happen? It means everyone could be traded. Me, the first thing for me be, it's actually crazy how the trade system in American sports work. The fact that your team, like, I they see, like, someone like FSG like this, like, better than trade Salakra.
Bro, you know, but, see, somebody, like, but a part of me wishes that we can do that. So say, like, Sanchez go to North Morro, then he did Colombia. Make you go full for there, Kwasia. Make you go full for there. Because no, some the players whole... there, you forfeit trade them without any. You don't go, Master, pack your bags tomorrow. You go Argentina. That go.
If you think about it, like, think about how crazy it is. Like, imagine being a player who's in New York. Then they say move go Minnesota.
If you stay US, maybe we know the bab. Take time Ghana. Let's say you stay
Accra. LA to Dallas. Oh, Dallas no bad like that. So,
Dallas go check like Koforidua.
Dallas go check like Sunya. Seriously, LA be I mean, everyone wants to live in LA. I stay Charlotte. Charlotte's no be. Dallas is bigger than Charlotte, definitely. But say at the LA, paradise, the skyline, Charlotte is put to the life then they live, them the where then they stay for their mansions and things. And then say make you go Dallas.
Oh. So they know they get permanent accommodation or
that. Oh, more of them they do. Like someone like AD, I'm sure he had a house because AD definitely never thought he'd be traded by the Lakers. Some hey. Like Crack said, there are some players that, I mean, some of them actually have no trade clauses, but there are some players you go not see more times they know the trade. It's called AD himself was talking about how Lakers needed to get a center so that he can play the number four because that was how they won in 2020 when they had Dwight Howard as their center and he was their number four. And that's, they feel like that's the best way they can win the play, they can win the playoffs. So the Lakers trading him be very, very wild thing. And the way they did it, it wasn't like AD asked for a trade. And I think it's actually even, it looks like it's the math that it triggered it. So the only thing I can think about is, like you said, the guy be fat slob, right? He's not a fit guy. If you see him third quarter, then he tire. Maybe they've detected that he gets some injury or something. Wait, and they won't wash their hands off him because that's the only way it will make sense. Otherwise, it will be one of the, like Crack said, they may win, the Mavs may win in the next 2 years, but them set the Lakers for the next 10 years. Like, it absolutely makes no sense why they would make this trade. And for what they got, see, Rudy Gobert or whatever in Indy, then trade him, then get picks. That guy, the way he shine, then get so many picks. See, the people, Lakers go trade him for like, the Lakers not send anybody go. Lakers carry soap. They carry soap, give them.
Hey, I miss. They give them a boy. They give them a boy. I'm so hurt. They give them a boy. They give them Mike Christie.
Charlie, stop the way. They stop the worry yourself.
Oh no, but the stop reason the why yourself. They see him so be say, you know, superstar trades, right? Let's say when they were trading Rudy Gobert, right? They weren't getting a superstar caliber player back, right? So that counts, right? So that reduces
but the package. Rudy Gobert is superstar.
No. I'm saying that when we're trading Rudy Gobert away, it's like we won't sack you. Like I won't rebuild, so make you go. I don't care what I get back.
Pack your things right? And go there.
Yeah,
go
so there you when you want my star player, it's like Durant as Villa they this put they come by. See, you know, be 70 whatever them buy him. You understand? 80, right? See, you wanted my boy. I'm not saying bring Ronaldo and money for Durant, right? So somebody, so with the Gobert one, like they wanted to rebuild. So they are starting. So you go bring them picks and things, then go take the players you go bring them up for the stars. But at least like it was superstar. But even with that safe, it's still crazy that we still give away just one pick and Mark Christie. It doesn't make sense. And in adding to what Fred was talking about earlier on, you see, there are some players if even safe. At Luca, if you talk, say Luca Sef gets an injury, where go this one Sef? You still don't do this in the middle of the season. Usually go wait summertime, you understand? Then listen to other team offers. If you talk, say Luca is on the trade block, the offers you go get, it goes shock. Like this one, there was no rumors, there was no like Luca is suffering with. This, you know, I mean, it's recovering from a calf strain, right? It's still a calf strain, and it was projected to come back in February, anyways. You understand? So, calf strain, right now, reports are coming out that his condition is not good, he has put on weight, blah, blah, blah. All big smear campaign. I understand. Luca has never been a skinny buddy.
I see that thing. The Mavs, they just, their owner actually just sold them last year, right? Mark Cuban.
He sold his majority share.
The guy go buy them, he be Lakers fan. He check like me, I go buy my you. I go sell all the players.
No, it actually isn't. The reason why I'm saying that is the GM, the current GM.
Who
that?
The one the British guy.
The British guy.
Sir Jim.
Sir Jim won't buy Chelsea, you know.
So the thing is that with the GM, they all have relationships. Right? The GM has a relationship with our GM. They've known each other for 20 years and all those things. But it's not about the GM. Because before this guy said, who approved it, he literally had to ask permission from the majority shareholder of the MAMS now. And he vetoed it. You understand that he agreed to it. So I don't even want to think it's about that. Like, I think it's an ego play as well. You can talk about Lucas' habits, bad habits on his, but even Jason Kidd, the coach of the Mavs, got to know last minute that this is what is happening. Crazy that is. Like, he himself got to know last minute though, that this is what is happening. LeBron got to know after the next game. LeBron weighed the 80 days, so they all represent, like, Clutch Sports, they represent the two of them. Lakers, they take 48 hours make the decision. Like, Smiley, I send you. Other teams were playing, and they went on timeout, and they were watching their phones, like, hey.
They were watching their phones.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Like, you know, like, see, no excuse day for this. You can't talk about Lucas' attitude. See, no excuse day, because this is like, there's something going on somewhere. Make them can't tell you the truth. Tell us the truth. Because this was just Lakers and this one, bad door deal.
I tell you, the guy be Lakers fan. He be Lakers fan.
Somebody they go bankrupt. Why
you tell me say? You don't tell me. Honestly, you tell me say you send Luca message. He end you. What's he coming to you? Do you know why? The last I did there, no. Then the worst one of the taxes on your this one. California, you go pay heavy tax for that. Luca is supposed to after next season. He's eligible for a supermax contract of $350 million, 5 years contract. Right now, he's not going to get it. Send me a message. Send a message. Why make a money? What Jimmy and you understand? Like, see, like all the Dallas legends, all them, like Deck, everybody's shocked because, as I said, there are some players that when you get them, like Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, there are some players where you know you can go forever with them, like till the wheels fall off. And Luka is one of those players that, see, Luka was supposed to go to the Hawks. The Hawks got him and they traded him for Trae Young. Right? And even the Mavs didn't think they were getting this. But bro, the guy come in first season and because he say, he the inmates. He check like Yama. Compare Yama to all the kids in age. Their brain, no. Like, their brain, you know, they. You know, even true. Like, you know, be the same thing. Do you get it? Look at his first playoff. He lashed the Clippers. His first playoff. You understand?
I got a question.
Wait, they talk shit too. He talk shit where they score you.
And I get question. You see,
I get question. I get question. This is off topic, but I still get question. And I see some tweets. People they tweet this time, and me, I don't know NBA, I don't follow it. I they won't bet, so I know if you follow. But some people they talk say right now the way then they set the Lakers up, if them pick mine go tempt or the Golden State for Steph, then them finish.
Oh no,
it be true or it not be true?
It be true, it be lie. Like, no, you don't go work. Steph is not going to leave Golden State. If anybody go Golden State, it'd be LeBron who will join them for that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because LeBron has 1 year. He signs short contract. And maybe after in 1 year for the Lakers, next season he go if he go. But Steph is not leaving too. And even if Steph comes, Steph can't play with Luka.
I even have another conspiracy theory. So you see the NBA. People know they watch the NBA. Like this year, it's actually been a very big thing. The ratings are down. They have even been thinking about moving the 3-point line. They say 10-minute quarters. Then they search alternatives. I think that's the reason. They won't get people talking because look at us. Everybody they talk about it.
The thing is that you talk Dallas, about it, but you go you watch
Dallas versus Lakers. Everybody go watch the match.
February 25th. February 25th.
Everybody did. Me, if I go watch.
I don't know what the fit. So but the issue we see.
It'll be rating soon too.
But the issue about the NBA rating way is NBA, they use TV ratings. They don't use the streaming ratings. Right? Because, you know, almost like 500 million people from China alone, they watch the NBA. And they use cable. They don't use... China is one of the biggest... this one of NBA, viewers of the NBA. So that one there they know. So they don't use cable So they don't use TV, so you can't track it. But they use streaming. NBA for each me, so I they use the NBA account. They watch them. But they don't count my stream. Do you get it? So they just count.
But NFL get the same thing. NFL no, get streaming. People they stream.
That's but what I'm saying. NFL but ratings NFL,
like times 10.
Let me tell you why. NFL, they add Netflix. NFL, they add the Netflix and set them a rating as they play the Super Bowl. You understand? This was streamed on. Not the Super Bowl. This one said the recent NFC and this one. They stream for Netflix. They add them. Charlie, NFL is not as global as NBA, right? It's not as global as NBA. Mm. So most of them, when they say the world, they are talking about their bubble, which is America, right? But with the NBA, people like from Africa, Europe, like NFL news go come. You don't see Tony Cruz and he's reacting to it. You wouldn't see the world reacting to it like question. This.
Crack question. Who is Nick Claxton?
Oh, Brooklyn Nets. Why they go? They go Lakers.
They said Lakers and Nets have held trade discussions around him.
Yeah, because we need a center. And... Yeah, we go talk about him later. That guy, he come for there. Yeah, see. So, what are the talk we say? Without ratings, NBA for Fiat, the streaming side, the Fiat, other countries that wake up and even watch it. You understand? They don't add it. So, it'd be something where last time, Seb, then they talk about, I'm not the only one that even talks about this. It's something where I talk about them before. I even tweet about them before. Say them for looking to us. Because if you are using just TV, NBA is so global that you can't use TV ratings for it. Because most of we outside America, they watch and we know they sleep. China alone, Asia alone, like Europe alone, they don't count all those ones. Because if they count them, it go pass NFL now. NFL Mukwasia.
There's been a significant drop. That's the whole point. That's
facts.
Yeah. So
but then even though it has been a significant drop, they still had one of their highest ratings in Christmas. Lakers versus Warriors. You know that.
But so the NFL game was higher. But the NFL.
The NFL game was higher, but collectively NBA beats them. NBA versus NFL. The fighter always did it. I didn't watch the two, but I always the NBA against them back. You understand? But this smiley, this is something that up to now is still surreal to me. I've still it's not sinking yet. It hasn't sunk in yet. I don't know how I feel right now. Like I don't know how I feel because Charlie, I just don't know. I'm still in shock. I know we're lying. Any NBA fan, any NBA true NBA fan will still be in shock. Like, see, I can tell you about the negative and positive for Dallas, their lineup, their second unit, how it could benefit them, what AD they bring, what Luka they bring here, what Lakers they like. I can make all those breakdown things for you. But the shock value still not left my inside. I'm like, you see, like, as Fred talking, you know, AD talks, I won't left. AD has always said he even gets a he go retire for you as one of the Lakers big, make them put in this one for the Raptors. You understand? As one of the Lakers big. And he's still setting records. All he wanted was he wanted them to bring a dynamic center and he can play the four. And he has said it and said it. So you know, be say like, because of that, you know, do at one level. Normally, superstars, you go hear some disgruntling here, talk say there's some friction between Lakers. No, nothing there. Kyrie was shocked. Everybody was shocked. Like everybody in the Dallas team. Dallas, they play today. Then they play today this bracket. Then my players still in shock. Then my GM had to address them. Then they play against Cleveland. Then my GM had to address them. Why he had to pause and address them. Them more shocked. Even the coach, chef shocked. Jesse King, the press conference this one. He's still in shock. Like, the team don't know now. Even though he likes AD, AD brings something different, and he has coached AD when he was at the Lakers and all those things, right? Losing a player where you know, say, at any night, an elite competitor, like, see, they get some players like, way like Charlie, they don't fear anybody, they don't respect anybody. Luka alone, no say, go, if you go 5-1. You understand? Luka, like, Henry Gotay, say, Neymar. Hey, I say Neymar, Messi for training. You score Messi or you cut him. Then he vex. Then he say, give me the ball. Then he dribble everybody. Then he go score. That be Luka. It not be hype. You understand? Luka can talk say this quarter. He pay the score 20 points. Nobody the score points. He pay go fear score your team in a quarter.
That's how offensively good he is. And while scoring too, he give assist too. You know what I'm saying? He just the score where they create too. He the score where they create, where they vex you too hard. You understand? So such a generational talent.
I have a question. I'm an NBA noob. So I'm trying to understand what makes a trade like this happen. How do you even get the parties? How did they even get them to agree on something like this? It's like telling me somebody has signed Prime Messi to like Madrid signed Prime Messi, or my Madrid signed Prime Lewandowski or Prime. Like,
make we talk about today. Like Madrid just enter Barcelona. Say Mofa Yamal in my yay. Then they say
it sounds like a game. Like you go to the game inside where you press edit, X. Where you move the player because the team not gonna allow you make you buy the boy.
NBA 2KSM,
it doesn't make sense.
They're not gonna allow you.
And people have tried it. Somebody's trying, well, you know what the GM thought for 2K say, you don't respect it. Make I give you me Luca for this nonsense. Like somebody put up with 2K, like 2KSM, it doesn't make sense. So the thing is that with NBA, right? Some contracts are guaranteed, and some people they put no trade clause in their contracts, right? So you can't trade them, right? And mostly the superstars wouldn't get that. And LeBron has that. Only a few players have that, right? No trade. But then if like you are left with a year, they can negotiate for you. But somebody like some team, if I don't want make my player go, right? Or maybe my player no won't go where you want them, I go tell you say, bring Smiley, bring Van Gelder, bring Corey, bring Fred. Or oh, they take them go City. Then left crack pay for you. You understand? So they go fit vex you. That be the Rudy Gobert and my own. No. They go fit talk anything. You two, you do I'm like, I benefit with that. And then there's salary issue, and like you have to match the salary. If Fred they earn 200, like say in contract be 200 million, and it's like maybe 4 years, that's like what is any like 25 million, right? So 4 years, any like no, it's not 25, like 45 isn't million,
50,
right? Yeah, okay, 50, yeah, 50 million, right? And he wants Curry, you want to trade him for Curry, where Curry they earn 45 million, right? The salary don't match, so means say you for add two players where then they on low, like you get some players where they get 2.1 just to match the cap. You understand? Otherwise, you go above luxury tax. The NBA, this one, it be complicated, but if you take your time, you go feel understand. But you, Van Gelder, you wish this thing for soccer, it won't work. The reason why I don't work is
we have never come so soccer. I don't
mean, I just want to make 2 minutes.
Trade,
make
a free trade,
make a free trade, Sanchez.
No.
Make
no,
we just
no. Think, I can't wake up one morning and say
Sanchez. Trade and Disasi, then what be boy name? What be the boy in the field for?
You see the way, you know,
you see the way they talk.
NBA player of it say no go.
Yeah.
Premier League, Naga say that.
So the
Premier
way League. we agree plus us and where this as he say, you know, go listen themselves. NBA player they play.
First quarter. Second quarter come then trade them. They go sit bench. If they play, then trade them.
The implication is that, like, if Mavs get game tomorrow, AD for day there, that's in team right there. Like, so he go
to family,
everything. He for go find some Airbnb or something, then go base for challenge.
So right now, I bet what I'm hiring will tell
you. I said to LA, my kid started to go school. My family does. I buy a house, you know, I lease house and all those things, right?
So what they do is,
if you trade me, so they are going to rent my house to another star where they come. Like, say, me and you, Corey, you they come. I will also can't check out my crib. Maybe if you like them, they will fit take
them. Your mind there.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You know, some people, NBA, you know, some people, if then they play,
You know, there are some untouchables where they get some players where they know say they'll trade them. So most of them don't even move their shoes and things to where they do. Then get 1, 2, 3 backs because they're not.
So
after February,
the NBA, it'll be all the more of the American sports.
Yeah.
The, so after, NFL to be so.
Even baseball. So baseball after. So after like 2020 after February, you know if you trade in body again, right? Mm. So they have like as the season starts from September to like October to like February. Right.
And that my transfer window long, Papa.
It's not really a transfer window like that, per se. It's not really a transfer window because if it's like you go get Tebe, we go worry.
Why if you get Tebe, go no, you go fix sack then.
No, but nobody go take him, where you go pay him. You understand? You can't just do that to him. This is what? You go box him.
No, like
say, if you trade somebody for Toxic,
this Garnacho thing we won't do, because I say, then we go take Garnacho. Then
so you know what you go do?
Say, yeah, and if we try take and give touch and take and
so if you want me to take Garnacho, you know what I go do? So you go give me Garnacho and give me money. So I do you a favor. You understand? Because I'm going to pay Garnacho now. But I don't need him. So you think you go give me money or something where valuable to you. Make I take him off your books. So if I take him off your books, that money you will fit to go take better player you like. If not, or bets now, or now we definitely know Chianica, because nobody wants them.
So question, so they trade and do like this. After the clubs, the teams agree, the salary, no, it is, so like Lakers just go agree plus Mavs say, what be in salary, we go pay the salary. That be all. Luka no get choice on saying,
maybe, no, because, you know, say, so the thing is that, football, that's why they talk say, player, no, in talk football, terms, so make I tell you something, you see in football, if I get 3 more years on my contract and you are paying me 200,000, right? And you are selling me, I'll negotiate with the other club. Because that year, but NBA know they work like that. NBA, if you've negotiated 20 million, let's say 20 million per season, as I said, 200 million, 20 million for 4 years, right? A 50 million for 4 years. So then it left 3 years, 150 million. So that way, for give me player, where his salary to the match, they have 150 million or player. So you go be like, with the trade books, unless even if they give me player where I won't go, then me now go tear tough for you. You understand? Me, the player, go if he talks to you, you know, let me just do this for the contract for you.
Or but, like the way you talk the Garnacho thing, you know, we will for add money. Then he go, if not, hey,
but so that's why it's also we get salary cap, we get it. So if you match them, if you know the match up, it no go work. You understand? It no go work. So you see the way Rashford they go low, so Aston Villa say they will pay 70%, United will pay 30%, NBA just out up but down. Oh, who's open? Go turn the car.
You know, see what Jimmy Butler they do. Jimmy Butler, there, he say, you know, go training self. He Jay, I cry.
As they suspend him, they are not paying him, so he's losing money.
Yeah, but he said them for trade him. I mean,
I won't be surprised Dallas go trade for him. I'm not shocked.
Oh no.
He did so watch
Jimmy Butler. No, so right now he be player. Then he won't left the team.
He won't left.
Check like Jao Felix. He won't left, but nobody to won't buy.
No, people won't buy. But the people won't mafia him. The team won't mafia him too.
So, Smiley, that your boy, no, eh? he no go find him where he go fit playing.
Make them just
Felix, your boy.
We will give you Felix.
Yeah, I go take him. Me, I still go take him. Because this is a weird system we play.
Take Felix, add 30 million and give you Garnacho ad. We go take.
Maza, me, I don't want to lose. I like Garnacho as much as I like Felix. So I don't want to lose any. I don't want to lose any. So I beg.
You but like Felix, Garnacho as much as
right now, as I judge your talent IQ, like. What do you mean you like Garnacho?
Why don't you like him? Which of your under 21 players get goals pass him? Which of your under 21 player gets goals pass him in the last 2 years?
Calculate
some. Garnacho be better side than Sancho. That Sancho, he did they do those discussing.
That's facts.
I remember I remember Chelsea fans.
Yeah, but
I remember Chelsea fans trying to convince us that Madueke is better than Ahmad.
Hey, make you not. Then we not see Ahmad, but we will give you Madueke for Ahmad.
Anyway. We've come to the end of this episode. With all this NBA talk and everything, I think this season we'll go back to putting out NBA special episodes every now and then. Fred, Goofy, join Crack, and we'll try and put something together, and at least maybe once a month. Last year, we were supposed to do once a month. Crack decided that he could ghost on me. So this year, we go try restart that idea and see whether every month we can put out NBA episodes. So yeah, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please subscribe to us on our different pages on YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast, on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you go find podcasts, we did it. Follow our social media pages on Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast GCR. On TikTok, it's After the Whistle. And yeah, once again, our episodes will be available on Spotty FM on Tuesdays at 2 a.m. Again, it'll not be prime time, but yeah, on your nights, I was thinking maybe you work very late.
God, go move, we go.
I just want to conclude by saying, man, you boy, you then curse you. You know, I say Anthony will give assist for the new club he got, right?
I lie, joke.
Give it to you.
I promise.
Anthony scored his first appearance.
Go invest in a bit.
Maybe Anthony, I won't make it do well so that at the end of the loan, we will get something small from him. So, yeah.
You will get some 20 million from him.
Something small. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we're at the end of this episode. Charlie, guys, thank you again for joining us for this one. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.